Hello. Whoa, whoa. I might need to grab that one. Is this good? We're bringing it down. I've got a loud voice. So I'm going to pop that down here, chuck this up here. You all doing well?
Yeah.
Yes. Hello. So my name's Josiah. I come all the way from Nelson this morning. I have one wife. Yes. I'd quite like to have a cleaner though. As well, yes, but I think David might have used his like that. And a chef would be quite nice too. Maybe a live-in nanny. But I've got a wife, she's amazing. I've got three children. The oldest one's 18 years old. Nah, that's a joke. Because I'm 18. That's also a joke. I do have three children, and we love life, and we serve at Annisbrook Church in Nelson. I wear many hats there. I run our youth on a Wednesday night, and that has gone absolutely crazy lately. We've doubled it in a couple of years, so it's been going pretty out of control. We also, this year, took on our young adult ministry, so we run our Sunday night service and helping to sort of grow our young adults and also manage an area called 24/7, which is pretty awesome. It's Christian youth workers in high schools. So they get paid to hang out in high schools. And we've got five staff members for that, six including me, in three different schools in Nelson. And out of a result of that, we probably get about 10% of a local high school that come to our youth out of one of the high schools plus other high schools coming in. So it's a lot of fun. And then we also, myself and my wife, run United Youth Camp, which is going to be crazy. We're hoping to hit 400 this year. We have got around maybe $25,000 to $30,000 of sponsorship to get it down to as cheap as it is. So we're basically just covering food with the price there. And in there is a free bus from Picton and all of our setup and speakers and all that. So it's going to be good. This morning, though, I've got a fresh thought for you guys, which I'm pretty excited to bring. It is titled, Help. 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 Let me pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that you are such a good God. We thank you that you're out of control in your love for us, and it doesn't matter who we are, where we come from, what we're into, you love us anyway. And I pray that this morning, Lord, as we sort of share a bit and talk a bit about you, Lord, I pray that you would be highlighted in this, and your love for us would be made very clear, your grace for us would be understood, Lord, and we could move forward with a fresh passion for you, Lord. Believe that in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation? Just never. Yes? Have you ever been in a situation? Yeah, that's good. So you found that. That's good. He's very reluctant right then. He's sort of wants to punch me right in the face. But that's okay. I'll take it. I'll take the hit. I love physical contact. Let's go. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you sort of needed some help? But you didn't ask. You're sort of like, oh my goodness, it would be nice if someone would help me, or this is quite big, but you don't want to ask. That's like New Zealanders, eh? We do it on our own. It's how we roll. So before I started to work at the church, I used to put carpet on floors. I was a professional carpet installation man. That was my self-made title. My real title was carpet layer. And so I had a van, and I'd travel all around the Nelson region and into the country, and I'd put carpet on the floor. I got to a point where I went self-employed in my trade, and so if I didn't work, we didn't eat. That's sort of how it rolls when you're a self-employed tradesman. I was on this job one day, and I got the most incredible large roll of carpet, and I had to get it into the house. And so normally, I'd, you know, give some of the other tradesmen a bit of a smile. Hey, man, can you help me? You know, and they would give me a lift, or I'd be trying to get the shop to send someone out. But in this particular instance, when I got to the point of needing this massive roll, about a 13, 14-meter roll of carpet, there was only one person on the trade site, and it was a very grumpy, arrogant builder. And I didn't get on very well with this builder because he was a grumpy face. And I tried to steer clear of him because, you know, some sort of Kiwi guy sort of pour out these sort of demeanors that if there was a word on his face, it wouldn't be very nice. It'd be like, you know, go away in some unfriendly terms. You know, and he would swear a lot and he'd yell a lot. And I sort of just didn't want to be around this guy. And I got to the point where there's this massive roller carpet and I'm like, I've got to get it in by myself. I'm not going to ask this guy for help. I'm going to do it because I'm incredibly strong. And that's true, though. That part there was very true. And so I get to the van, and I just start to drag this thing out. I could barely even drag it out. And I, you know, 10 minutes later, I've got it to the point where it's on my shoulders, and I'm trying to stand up. I'm wobbling to and fro. I'm crying. Tears of joy. I can feel my spine compressing. I get into the house after like this 20-minute wrestle with this bit of carpet, and I just sort of just tilt, and it goes, well, boom, on the floor, and I'm lying there. Like, and at that point, man, I don't like my job. I'm angry at the owner of the shop. Like, I'm like, my wife should be working. You know, I'm just so upset about every part of life. And the builder pops around the corner, and he goes, mate, should have just asked for help. How true is it that so often when we're going through struggles in life, we shut up and we close up and we don't ask for help? You know, we could be going through some emotional struggles, or we could be struggling with anxiety or fear, or there could be some sort of major areas of insecurities or anger or some sort of substance abuse that's going on in our life which we don't want people to know about, and we never ever get to a point where we go to a safe person and ask for help. We think we're going to deal with it on our own. We think we're going to get ourselves right before we come to God. We think we're going to get all of these things going on in our world in ship-shape order, and then I might come to church. But you see, that's not how it works. Why do you think it is? Why do you think that we don't ask for help? Well, possibly it's because we don't want people to see us that way. You know, we don't like the idea of people thinking that we're not good enough, or that we're inferior, or that we're in need. We don't like people seeing our insecurities. You know, it could be that we genuinely think that, you know, we're not good enough to be helped, or that people just won't want to help us. So many occasions, you know, in my walk with God, I've had these moments where it would have been so much easier, gone a lot smoother if I'd gone to help. Yeah. Or I had actually prayed about it. You know, but the thing about life and the thing about the church is that we're not supposed to do it on our own. There would be no reason for this if we were called to go individuals. There'd be no reason for a church family if it was just one person taking on the world. No, came and he began to gather and he built this thing, and in the earlier days, in the Greek it's called the ecclesia, and in the German it's called the Kirche, rolling into the church, which is called a group of people gathering with purpose, and we become the church family, and we're here with so many different strengths, so many different talents. Some of us are bold, some of us are full of mercy, some of us are generous, some of us are very strong, some of us are gracious, some of us are kind, but together we make an unstoppable force. But when you go and you hide in your corner on your own, you're sort of defeating the purpose of a church family. Bible says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I love the concept of help. Help. Oh my goodness, please help. I love the concept, but I don't often do the practice. I want to tell you a story about someone who got over themselves and all their messiness and disabilities, and they asked for help. I want to tell you a story about a man in the Bible named Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. You may know the story. I love the story. So many stories in the Gospels, Jesus was going somewhere. He was such a patient man. He was a man who allowed people to interrupt his day, to interrupt his schedule. Man, when I'm going somewhere and someone wants to ask me for help, I'm like, I'm hungry. You know, it's lunchtime and I'm going to get some food, and someone's like, could you help with this? I'm like, no way. Do you even understand what it is when I'm hungry? My stomach is very important right now. Those sort of thoughts roll through my mind, but with Jesus, thank goodness, he's not me. You know, if I was Jesus, I would go into restaurants, and rather than turning water to wine, I'd turn everyone's wine to water and just sort of have a little giggle. But thank goodness. So Jesus is on a mission, and he's going to Jericho. And he's got his disciples with him. And sort of when people heard that Jesus was around, commotion started to happen because he came into the world in a very desperate time, in a very broken time. He came into the world in a time where people's not only salvation was like at an all point low because they had built so many man-made principles around it, but came into a time where there's so much brokenness with certain areas of people. And there was a certain man who sat on the side of the road and fully relied on the donations of people to live. Because there was no social welfare. There was no ACC. There was no government that would help disabled people, people who could not earn for themselves. So if you had a disability, especially one of being blind, meant that you didn't make money. And so he would sit there and he would ask for food, money, fish, bread, whatever it would be, so he wouldn't die. And so one day he heard that Jesus was coming and he started to make a commotion. I love this because he sort of got over himself really fast. It wasn't a secret that he was blind. It wasn't a secret that he needed help. But and in that, and in his insecurities, he started to shout out. The Bible says he started shouting out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, oh my goodness, flippin' help me, you know. And then it says that people start telling them to be quiet. Oi, you, oi, boy, close your mouth. Shh, stop it. You're like, do you even know who you're yelling to? You should not be talking like that. So he's Jesus. He's up here. You're down here. You close it. Even the disciples are like, shh, shh. But man, thank goodness for Bartimaeus that he did not let his circumstances be ruled by his insecurities, that he did not let his now be overcome by his past, and he began to sort of turn a blind eye to these people, and he started to shout above them, and his commotion sort of caught the attention of Jesus. How amazing it is to catch the attention of Jesus. How amazing it is when in a moment you sort of turn to him and you catch his attention and he can now come and be a part of what's going on in your world. So Jesus hears the commotion and he calls him over. Wait, let's go find out why this guy is going crazy. Let's find out why he's hollering. Let's find out why he's shouting ridiculously when we want to go for a walk. Does he not know that I'm going somewhere? You know, so they bring him over. He's like, sir, what can I do for you? And blind Bartimaeus is like, man, I just want to see. And I love that point because sometimes when there's people to help us, or sometimes we go to God in prayer, or we spend moments like that, we just sort of run around the topic. We sort of just like get a little bit fluffy duffy, or we sort of go a little bit crazy and we don't go direct. And he's like, man, I want to see. And he went to the one person in the history of time that could truly help him. And he said, I want to see. And because he had such a faith, if you know the story, you've seen where it's going, Jesus healed him. And his whole life, his whole future, his whole family's life, and his descendants to come were absolutely transformed because of a moment of faith crying out to Jesus saying, help. But here's the thought, interesting thought this. I wonder how many more sick people were there who didn't get healed because they didn't ask for help. The beggars hang out together, right? The sick people sort of hung out in flocks. Like attracts like. So when I went to school, even now, it sort of happens. Sort of the rugby players hang out with the rugby players. The soccer boys hang out with the soccer boys. The skaters hung out with the skaters. The intellect/gamers hanged out with the gamers. There was a bit of interaction. Yeah, sure, we were civil. You knew each other in class times. But like attracts like. And so Bartimaeus, he hang out with his kind, people that were disabled of some description, or there was a reason why they could not work and they were the outcast of the community, and he sort of sat with his kind and asked for money from another kind. And how many people were there? How many peers did he have that day who did not receive a miracle, who did not receive breakthrough, who did not see their whole future absolutely turned around by the grace of God because they didn't ask for help. So how often do we live in pain because we won't ask for help? When our breakthrough could be just there, we need to learn how to come to God no matter how we look and feel and cry out, help. Man, so often we make God our last resort. So often we make him like the very last point. I remember when I went self-employed with Carpet Lane, I'd planned to contract to a certain company that had employed me previously. And once I went and actually fully became self-employed, they hired two people from out of the region to replace me. Nelson not being a major region meant that there were two more carpet layers than necessary in the middle of a recession. And so, which instantly meant that I had absolutely no work. And I was the newest boy on the block, which I was meaning the last person to get work. That's how it works. And so I went around, I was talking to all the shops, I was trying to build a clientele, but I got a little bit burnt in the process, and our savings whittled down. We got to a point of absolute financial desperation. I think I only had two children at the time, and we were sort of like, oh my goodness, we really felt God sort of called us to do this. We felt he had empowered us to come to this point. We thought it was a God thing that we went self-employed, and we were freaking out. We're saying, God doesn't like us anymore. I'm so angry at my old boss for sort of turning his back on me, going against his word. And I sort of started to throw little patties, and it got really bad and it got really low. And I thought, we should probably pray about this. You know, get the lowest of low, right? Now we'll let God sort of help us. This is a true story. So myself and my wife, it was 9 o'clock. Tradesmen are not at home at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's not what we do. We work at that time. It was 9 o'clock on like a Wednesday morning, and we're sitting on our couch. It might have been actually on our bed in the bedroom. I'm like, we should probably pray because this is like bad. So we pray, very simple prayer. God, we like need help. Like either give us work or just like lots of money. You know, that would be lovely. And so, you know, but I'm willing to work for my money. I just want opportunity to get that money. And so we prayed, and there's no word of a lie. 5 minutes later, my phone rings. And I pick it up, and there's this old guy that I'd known for a while who sort of ran a few big commercial jobs. He goes, Joe, what are you up to? I'm like, oh, just at home with my wife. He goes, what? Why are you doing that? I go, got no work. He goes, want some? Yes. Yes, please. I turn up to a job, and he pays me a lot more than I actually asked him for. He supplied the product that I was supposed to pay for out of the pay, so I ended up getting even more money and gave me about 3 weeks solid work. But by the time that finished, Christmas pickup had happened and I was solid. And it was crazy because I let myself get to the bottom of bottom. I didn't ask for any help from anyone. I was doing it on my own. And I let myself get to the lowest point before I turned to God. And he was just waiting for me to ask for help. Because God doesn't like force his way in. He doesn't push us around. We have this beautiful thing called free will. We use it for crazy things, but we can also use it to go to God. We didn't have free will, we'll just be robots and everyone would know God. But we have a thing called free will. We get to choose whether we want Jesus in our lives or not. We get to choose how much of our life we let him to be a part of or not. We get to choose how much we get into the word of God or not. We get to choose what we do with these things. So often we make God a last resort. I love the passage Matthew 7 verse 7 to 11. This is like a well-known passage. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be opened. It doesn't say look at the door and it will be opened. It doesn't say hope that something will happen and it will be opened. No, ask, seek, knock. And then I love this point from verse 9. Which of you, if a son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? This is random, eh? This is so random. Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have a sandwich? Yeah, let me go get you a sandwich. Bang, it's like a brick on the table. It's like, what? Can't eat that. Which of them asks for a fish will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, or though that you make mistakes, or though that you live in a world that's saturated by sin, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give gifts to you or to those who ask him? If you then, though we live in a world that's saturated by sin, we cannot escape that. We cannot overcome that. We cannot do so much good in our life that we get to a point where we are free of that. No, the only way we can be free and separate from sin is to have Jesus in our life. I love to use this demonstration. I use it a bit on Friday night, but like sin is like water, whereas you jump out of a boat in the middle of the ocean, you're going to get wet. You're alive in the world. You're surrounded by sin. And the only way to be free of that sin is to accept the one who came to break that, and that's Jesus. And I love this. If we, though we live in a world surrounded by sin, still want to give good gifts to our children, and we love to. The human race loves their children and wants to give so much gifts. That's why there's like incredible spoiled children out there. That comes out of an overflow of wanting to give to their kids. I've got three children. I would give them everything if I could. I would give them too much if I didn't get raised in a way that said, probably not good. You know? I would do that if it was possible because I love them. I want to give them so much, man. I want them to have the best of everything. Good parenting would say it's good to use discernment and teach them ways to earn and get to their self. But there are so many children now coming through, teenagers now don't know how to do anything because their parents just want to give them everything. And how, if we want to do that, how much more does God want for us? Well, I got 2 points this morning, not 3 or 5 or 20, but 2. 2 points. The first one is this. You'll never be so holy and healed that you could outgrow the need of God. You'll never be so holy and healed that you could outgrow the need of God. See, He is our Savior. It doesn't matter where you get to in life, you're always going to need Him. See, we've been created to live in harmony with God, not separate and independent of Him. We don't get to a point where we've earned up enough brownie points where we can get to heaven. We don't get to a point where we've done enough that we're on even par with God and now get there on our own efforts. No, that's not how it works. As soon as we say we've done enough, we're now putting ourselves on even keel with God. As soon as we say we're good enough, we're now saying Jesus died for nothing. But the only way is to have Him. So you'll never be so holy, you'll never be so healed, you'll never be so good, you'll never know the Bible so well that you outgrow the need of God. We're always going to need Him because that's how it is. That's how we've been created. He is a higher being. Can I get the band up just to play a beautiful strum? Can you do that? We'll keep the capo on the right place, get it in the right key, get that strum going. Oh, I had to go there, man. Are you okay? Are you all right? Where is he? Oh, he's just got to... Yes. You're awesome. I like that. Second point is this. God would rather a messy you than not have you at all. God would rather a messy you than not have you at all. Don't worry about your mistakes and your struggles. Don't let them be a barrier between you and God, because He would rather a messy you than not have you at all. Imagine how it would have been if blind Bart said, I'm going to learn how to see, and then I'm going to go to Jesus. You know, I'm going to get over all my insecurities. I'm going to figure it all out, and then I'm going to come to church. Oh man, I'm going to get the best budgeting you've ever seen. Every cent is going to be accounted for. And then when I'm financially secure, I might pray about it. You know, I'm just going to overcome this fear in my life. I'm going to sort of get over these anxiety attacks, and I'm going to break free of depression all on my own. And then I'm going to come to Jesus. I'm going to sort of figure out how to deal with my life free from substance abuse or free from being addicted to the computer or free from my insecurities, and then I might pray about it. Then I might come to God. Then I might allow Him in my life. But, you know, that's not how it works. Don't let those things be a barrier. We've got to come to him in that. Come to Him because of that and allow Him to do a work in our life through the struggles. Allow Him to bring testimonies in your life because of the healing, because of the breakthrough. See, your life is far more important to Him than making you feel bad because you're human and you've got struggles. I don't know anyone that's come to God and felt like, oh man, I prayed about it and God made me feel real bad that I felt this way. What? God made me feel really bad that I'd lost my job. God made me feel really bad that I'm fearful. God made me feel really bad that due to circumstances out of my control, I've sort of spiraled into a state of depression. God made me feel bad because of that. Now, I've never heard that. I've never heard that ever. You are so much more important to him than that. And you've got to know and understand that about God. You have to. Because we sort of can put him into a random pedestals or put him in random places where we make him out of reach. Part of my role as a manager 24/7 is to find lots of money. Generally, I'm quite good at finding money. I like having coffees with people who give lots of money. They're great coffees, the cheapest coffees ever. On Monday, 2 weeks ago, as a part of our funding applications, we applied to the Nelson City Council for quite a lot of money to go towards our youth program and the youth workers. And so I was really excited because about a month before that, the mayor of our city had asked to have a meeting with me to talk about the future of youth in our city and how we can better partner towards that. They heard that we have the largest youth program in the city's history and were wondering how we did that, how much money we poured into that. And I said, sometimes we give away two cans of Coke. You know, everything we do comes from the generosity of people in our church. They're like, whoa. And so we had this meeting. I was really excited because I thought they were going to be in this panel when I came to ask for money. I was like, oh, this would be good because I've just had this meeting. We know each other now. And I get there, and every single city councillor is sitting around the room except for the mayor and deputy mayor. And so you sit in their chambers. They're all around, and they say, you got 5 minutes. Go. Okay. And it was like so scary and so intimidating. And, you know, I was sitting there like, oh, man. I don't know, like, how this is going to work. And I sort of sold my appeal. And then they have time to ask you questions. And they ask me, what do you do with this? And I answer that. How do you approach that? And I say, these are good. This is good. I'm rolling with it. And then the guy goes, what would you say if a ratepayer got very angry, gave him money to a church organization? I'm like, I would like a one-on-one conversation with that person. And they're like, oh, could you please explain that? And I said, well, in my experience, every single person's perception of the church is very different. The understanding of what it could be is often very different to what it is. Their thought about God is so far skewed or been shaped by the media where their actual understanding of God is actually not who he is. And then there was an absolute silence with every single counselor. And there was a whole, about five rows of people waiting to go next because they were seeing people every 7 minutes all day. And everyone's staring at me. I'm like, any more questions? and I find that people have this skewed perception of God, and we can even get it in the church where we try and do it on our own. And, you know, all the while he's like, man, just ask for help. So back to the start, I got this big roll of carpet on my back. There's so many moments. There's so many things going through my head through that process. I remember I get it, open up the van, I'm like, the guy who owns the carpet shop hates me. You know, look at this thing. And I start to lift it, I'm like, I've got no friends. It's so heavy. And I started getting real angry towards that builder. I'm like, why wouldn't he just help me? He doesn't like me. He's always angry. It's his own fault. He should be nice to people. I'm like, I'm going to quit my job. This is useless. I shouldn't be doing this. You know, and all through the process, I started to throw these patties in my mind, and I started to get all indignant about what's going on, and I started to, you know, started to slander this person. I'm like, be my wife would be happy to see me like this. You know, I started to get all like this, and I get in there, and the whole time I had shaped all of these in my own head because I never bothered to ask for help. I had no right to think like that. I had no right to have those emotions. I had no right to have those thoughts because I did nothing about it first. And I find that so often we get so anxious or angry or grumpy about things when we have absolutely no right to because we don't come to God first. You got no right to complain about most of the things we complain about unless we spend time with God and go to safe people in our world and ask for mentoring and advice. Because if we don't do that first, we've got no right to complain about it. Because all the while, God's like, I want to help you, man. I've put these people alongside of you to help bring guidance, to help bring strength. I want to be there for you in these moments, but we're whining about it, we never come to Him in it. And then all I need in that moment was to ask for help, and the burden would instantly have been eased. All I needed to do was say, oh my goodness, help. I need to have a blind Bart moment where I got over myself, got over my insecurities, got over my weaknesses, got over all these feelings of, oh, but I want to be the man. And I needed to ask for help. And I would have had incredible ease in that moment. And I would have been able to handle it comfortably, got it in, and got on with my day. Would have been like nothing ever happened. And so I know that there are people here today who could be in a similar position, whereas the weight of the burden you are carrying is holding you down in life. And today, I think that needs to change. Today, I think we need to actually have a mindset of, we're going to go to help. We're going to go to God. We will ask safe people. I'm not saying social media is healthy for these environments. I'm not saying you go to everyone, but there's big people in your life. You know, there's leaders in the church, there's pastors or there's elders that you go to. If you're young, there's youth leaders, there's kids leaders. I'm so lucky that I've got strong parents that I can go to, and parents and laws, but I've also got, my pastors and that I'll go to. They're big people. I'm not going to go to teenagers in my youth and start to pour my problems on them. That's not appropriate. And in a lot of circumstances, I'm not going to go to my peers and pour my problems on them, because it's probably too much for them to handle. But when I go upline, that's good. That's good. And so this morning I want to do two things. In a moment I want to give people an opportunity to connect with Jesus, whether it be for the first time or whether you're sitting there and go, man, I didn't even walk with Him like that. And I think I really want to refresh that. We want to do that. And then, well, I think we'll sing, and love to give a chance that we could just pray for you in a moment, saying, help. There's something going on in your life, whatever it could be, where you're like, man, I'm not happy about that. You know, I've been sort of journeying this in a while, but I need help in this. The whole thought this morning is here to highlight the fact that God is not a last resort. He's there, man. We've got to come to Him, big or small. We've got to keep persistent. Because if Bartimaeus was quiet when he got told to be quiet, he wouldn't have got his healing. If Bartimaeus let insecurities rise up when people started telling him to be quiet, they said, get down. But he stood up and got louder. And so we got to get persistent in our approach. Doesn't always happen with a 5-minute phone call. They do happen, but it doesn't always happen. I'm still praying for things that I've been praying for long before that moment, expecting and waiting for my breakthrough in those positions. And at all times, we keep Jesus at the center of our lives. There's no one better to live with than Him. No one, ever. He is our breakthrough. He is our miracle. He is our salvation. So to start with, I think in a moment I'll get you guys just to close your eyes and I'll count to three. And on three, if you want to say yes to either connecting with Jesus for the first time or reconnecting, say, man, I need that. I need that relationship. And then we'll pray, and at the end of the service, someone will have a conversation with you. So we'll do that now. Can I get everyone just to close your eyes in this moment? If you know Jesus, can you just sort of enlarge your faith right now? Can you sort of just get a bit expectant right now? Because you don't know where someone is next to you. You actually cannot judge their heart. You cannot judge their character. Only God can do that. So if you're here in this room and you have a question mark on your faith, you have a question mark on your position with Jesus, you don't even really know whether you're walking with Him or not, and you're at a point where you're saying, I want that. I want to move forward with Him. I want that relationship. On the count of three, I want to get you to throw your hand up. And putting your hand up is in the process opening up your heart and saying, I want you. I want you, Jesus. On the count of three, here we go. One, two, three. If that's you, throw it up. That's incredible. A couple hands there. Anyone else saying, that's me? And I want to connect with Jesus this morning in a brand new way. I need that love. I need that forgiveness. I need the future He came to bring. I need the joy. I need the peace. I need the grace. I don't want to live in the pain and the brokenness. No, I want to move forward in hope and strength. A few more moments. Just wait a few more moments. That's you. Throw it up. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for these people that are responding to you this morning, saying we need you in our lives. Lord, we didn't know where our future was before we came, but right now we want it to be with you. We want it to be strong of you. We want it to be happy of you. We want it to be full of love of you. I pray that as they open up their heart to you this morning, that by the power of your presence, you'd fill them, Father. You would encounter them this morning, that they would know your love. They would know your acceptance, Father. There's no rules with you. There's no specific ways we do it. There's just a yes, and there's just a willingness. We pray this morning that as we respond to you, that you would come upon these ones and that they would begin to journey and live life with you. We thank you for that in your mighty name. Amen. Come on, church, why don't you put your hands together? That's incredible. That's so cool.